The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. In a world where the line between right and wrong has become increasingly blurred, it is of utmost importance that believers are able to stand firmly on the Word of God. Stay tuned as Pastor
Marty Prince
from Calvary Chapel of the Sandhills in Aberdeen, North Carolina, brings us another teaching from the Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, on The Cutting Edge.
Our sermon this morning is called The Heart of the Matter. Now, that is not an original title. Matter of fact, that is rather a common title, but I could not think of a better one. Because what I'm going to be talking about today has to do with the state of your heart with God, the state of commitment of your heart. We, over the last few hundred years as a nation, have changed our view of God. We've changed our view of God in that we think that because God is gracious, we overblow that gracious and believe that word gracious means permissive. We think that he's an old guy, he's been around the block a few times, that he doesn't like sin, and he winks at it, and he says, well, you're a good guy, you're a good girl. This sin, it's a bad thing, but, I don't know. We'll just shake it up. We'll put it in a lottery box with other good stuff, other good cards, other good things, and we'll shake it all up, and I'm sure that you're going to come out okay because the good will outweigh the bad, and, it's just a lapse in judgment. Or this sin could be the cause of a redefinition of something in our society. It could be a redefining of our constitution, a redefining of our marriage, a redefining of life, a redefinition of this or that or the other thing. So we're just going to shake all these little things up. The God of the Bible, Old and New Testament, is not so. He's not like that. He does take seriously the commitments of the heart. You may see what I call an outline for this chapter, Joshua 7. My outlines look different. I mean, the outlines look different. They should be functional. They should convey what the conveyor needs to have conveyed. And so my point one, if it's up there, I can't see that stuff. I don't read. I read the writing on the wall, but I don't read the PowerPoint on the wall. Okay? God views our commitments as a wholehearted involvement and obedience to his will. He views wholehearted commitment. We'll talk about what that does mean and what that doesn't mean. We are in Joshua 7. I will start out by saying that in Joshua 7, it starts out from the get-go in verse 1 with a summary of what happened. It talks about, in this chapter, the causes for lack of commitment. Since God views wholehearted commitment as the goal for us and the means in us, he regards that. There are obvious competitors to that wholehearted commitment. We are in the world, in enemy territory, but not of the world system, the world way of viewing and thinking. You understand that as Christians. And so we are in chapter 7. We will begin with verse 1 in Joshua. But the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed things. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zebdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed things. So the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. One of these accursed things, this guy Achan, of all the millions of Israelites out there in new territory, in Canaan, in enemy territory, God had promised that land to the Israelites years, hundreds of years before. But they had to take it. It was theirs, but they had to take it. God gave us a new life, but we have to stand up for it and take it. We have to receive it. The Israelites had not received it yet. What in the world are these accursed things? Well, basically, they just finished being victorious over the city of Jericho, a large city just inside Israel, or as it was called at that time, Canaan. It was a large place. It took about 45 minutes to an hour to walk around, by the way. And the Israelites had won it. You remember in chapter 6 of Joshua, some of you may remember that Joshua fought the battle of Jericho and the walls came tumbling down. That's beautiful. And it happened per God's specific instructions. There were ways to do that battle. Okay? But in the seeds of that victory, human nature grabs at and grabs defeat. It grabs out of the jaws of victory the seeds of defeat. That's what happened. What do you mean? Well, the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. The Israelites took it. God told them, though, there were some specific instructions. When you take this, there are things you destroy and there are things you save for my tabernacle that are dedicated to me. This is my victory through you. I'm giving you the city. I'm giving you this. But the things you take, understand, you take no plunder this first victory. This is all for me. This is my, if you will, my tithe, if you will. These are things dedicated to me. They're good things. They're iron, bronze, silver, and gold. They're for my tabernacle, my place. It's to beautify my place. Don't take them for yourself. If you do, what is good will become bad. What is good will become wicked. Why? Because we're taking something of somebody else's. We're robbing somebody else. We're robbing God with this. This is a concept that we're going to be talking about today. And you may be saying, how in the world could that pertain to me, Marty? You're being legalistic. Besides, you're talking about the Old Testament. You're sounding like one of those turn or burn churches. What are you getting at? Be patient with me. Hang in there with me. I'll tell you. But this is a competitor to commitment of the heart, taking of something of God's for ourselves. We'll get further into that. But understand that Achan, his name means troubler. Yeah, it does. How would you like to have a name that spelled out your destiny? What kind of struggles would you be making with the philosophical conundrum of, what about free will? You know, how would you do with that struggle? Okay, well, that's for, you know, Will, I can't pretend to answer all your questions. I'm not going to answer all your questions. I'm pointing you to God. That's where I'm going. There's a lot of imponderables I don't have the answers to, but I do have some answers to some ponderables. And we're going to be talking about it. Just know this, that Achan took some of the stuff. This verse sets up the chapter. Now, understand that when this verse is coming here, nobody else knows in this campaign that Achan has done this, except he and his family, who were complicit, who were involved in this. They know what's happening, and this will be revealed as it goes along. Okay. So, verse 2, now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, or it's pronounced Hai. I may forget to pronounce it that way, just to understand that it's pronounced Hai, all right? Which is beside Beth Avon on the east side of Bethel, and spoke to them, saying, go up and spy out the country. So the men went up and spied out Ai, or Hai, verse 3, and they returned to Joshua and said to him, do not let all of the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack it. Do not weary all the people there, for the people of Ai are few. Verse 4, so about 3,000 men went up there from the people, but they fled, that would be the Israelites, fled before the men of Ai. Verse 5, and the men of Ai struck down about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate as far as Shebarim, and struck them down on the descent. Therefore, the hearts of the people melted and became like water. Verse 6, then Joshua tore his clothes and fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until evening. He and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. Verse 7, and Joshua said, alas, they said that a lot then in the Old Testament. It means, man, I don't understand this. This is bad. I'm desperately confused. That alas, that word alas has a lot in it. Alas, Lord God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all? To deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us? Oh, that we had been content and dwelt on the other side of the Jordan. Verse 8, oh Lord, what shall I say when Israel turns its back before its enemies? Verse 9, for the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear it and surround us and cut off our name from the earth. Then what will you do for your great name? Joshua didn't know why they lost. They had won the first battle. God's going to tell him in just a minute. You know, Pastor Todd was talking about the honesty that we need to exhibit in prayer to God. Now, it's one thing to have honesty, and we're supposed to have that. But when we have the honesty, we need to be prepared to hear from God when he answers us back. God answers in different ways. You understand that. You know that as Christians. He talks in different ways to us. When we're involved with him in a commitment, when we have a relationship going on with him, when we're really sorrowful, grabbed by our pain and grief, and we're overwhelmed and overcome, we don't know why things are happening, it's good to ask. But then God will reveal things to us. How will he reveal them? He'll reveal them through his Spirit, which he's given us. He promised it when Jesus was here. Jesus promised a helper, a comforter, a deliverer, a truth teller, a leader in truth, a guider in the Word of God. He gave that to us. We have the Holy Spirit in our hearts. We have his Word to read, not to judiciously pick through to see what we like and then throw out what we don't like. It is not that kind of Word. It is to let the Word speak to us. It is to let it come inside of us, and God talks to us. And God is about to reveal to Joshua why the problem is, why the defeat took place. I will continue. Verse 10, so the Lord said to Joshua, get up! Why do you lie thus or like that on your face? Okay, verse 11, Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken some of the accursed things and have both stolen and deceived. And they have also put it among their own stuff. What has happened? God says Israel broke the covenant. Transgress means to step over the line. It means to break an agreement, to break a trust, to break a treaty. Break. Ma'al is the Hebrew word. It means to break. What did they break? They broke what God said for them not to do. Remember in Joshua 6 verses 17 and 18 and 19 where he says, I'm giving you the city, but listen. Here's what you have to do to inherit, to possess the city. I'm don't take these things for me that are mine. You take them and give them to me. They're mine. They're not yours. That was a sacred trust. God has a specific way and a specific way to do His will. We cannot do God's will in our flesh. You understand? There's no time that it's excusable. God views it that way. God wants His people to be holy. Remember I said at the beginning of this sermon that we are in enemy territory. His name is very important. His reputation is very important. He has a way for us to live. It is not ours to decide after we're Christians what we're going to do and what we're not. God tells us a way to live. Why? He wants us to be at peace with Him and with each other. And to be strong in Him. Look what happened. They broke His covenant. What happened? Several things. They lost the battle. They were weak. They were 3,000 men. It says further on in Joshua 8 that there were about 12,000 of them. They underestimated. When you and I are acting in the flesh, trying to pretend to be committed, being committed, or looking like we're committed, if we're acting in the flesh, we will always underestimate God and overestimate ourselves. Listen carefully. When we're acting in the flesh, not depending on God and His Holy Spirit, we will always underestimate God, overestimate ourselves. Todd was saying when he was up here, why do trials happen to us? Well, sometimes it's to make us understand what God is and what we're not. God needed to get their attention. They had committed a serious error. Another serious error. I need to explain something to you. You're probably wondering. Achan was one person. And now God's charging the whole of Israel, His people, with a sin here. This isn't right, is it? Is it? Look what happened. Well, because of this one sin, they went to battle. God wasn't happy with Achan and the sin that He allowed the people to be infected with. And 36 men died. 36 families were affected by this. What else happened? Well, this was the first time that God was angry with Joshua. Joshua had been in the land for a while. Joshua had been shepherding the Israelites since Moses died. Joshua was doing things right. Wow. In Joshua chapter 3, they crossed the Jordan River. How? God divinely caused that to happen. God talked to Joshua. Joshua listened to God. Then in chapter 5 of Joshua, God had said, look, set this people aside for me. They're across the river. I want them to see the sign that they are mine. They believed in me. Now I want to give them a sign. Have them get circumcised. Wow. I tell you what, it is proof that Joshua was listening to God, because if he wasn't, he wouldn't have circumcised them. I don't know anybody in their right mind that wants to be circumcised, especially when they're an adult. You have to be listening to some divine power in that. Do that kind of thing. So that's proof to me that Joshua was listening to God. He had that done. Joshua listened to God for the specific instructions to conquer Jericho. He did that. The people did that. God gave specific instructions. And now for the first time in the campaign, now for the first time since the instatement of Joshua as the ruler and leader, rather, of the people, God's the ruler, and Joshua is the representative of God's rule. For the first time, Joshua did not pray to God about this little incursion, this battle into Hai. It doesn't mention it, does it, in Joshua 7? No, really doesn't. All these things happen because of the sin of one man becoming part, and now God is unhappy with the whole nation. And God says, oh, this is serious. God is going to, in a minute, God is going to say, I'm going to take my presence away from you, my protection away from you, unless you do certain things. I'm going to separate myself out from you unless you do certain things. Okay? Let's go into verse. Then you understand that. He says, this thing happened. This sin happened. What? the sin of taking, and the sin of hiding, the sin of deceiving. That's what we do when we decide to misappropriate, to take a devoted thing to God for your own personal use, that is His use, and make it your use, is misappropriation. That is when a devoted thing becomes an accursed thing. How could that apply to you and me? Well, in many ways. Let me give you a few examples, okay? First of all, we are in enemy territory. This is the third time I've said that so far. I'm a teacher. I repeat things. I repeat them for a purpose for people to say, oh, he must want me to get this. I do. I want me to get this. And so I repeat for myself as well. I'm hearing this message because God gave me this message. I didn't make this up. I studied, but he gave it to me. I will take no authorship for this message except to say, I hope I get what he says to me right. But anyway, God gave specific commands. He says, listen to me, walk in enemy territory, walk circumspectly. But what happened was, we can become distracted by what the world has to offer. See, we were in the world system. We were saved out of it by God, by what Christ did for us. But yet, it takes us a while to learn new behavior, does it not? We are grooved and circuited by what we've experienced in our life. Now, when we become saved, the Holy Spirit lives in us, but we still have the flesh on board too. We all know this as Christians, and this gives us constant torments. We have to watch against stuff that is going to look very attractive to us. And just like Achan, that takes stuff that is not his, there's some stuff in the world that needs to be destroyed in our lives. Like thoughts of angry thoughts of hurting somebody, thoughts of retaliation to somebody, thoughts to misappropriate things that aren't yours, plagiarism, gossip. Oh my goodness, there's any number of things. Being divisive, wanting your own way, honking angrily at somebody who cuts you off in traffic. The examples are big and little. Big and little. Okay? If you think you're guiltless so far, I got one more check. I got one more test for you. All right, here we go. When we became a Christian, we stopped being our own. Paul says in several places, let me see if I can get this right. One of the places is 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Now, when I mention a reference, you don't have to turn there, but I hope you'll write this down or do something with it. Okay? 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. For do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who you have from God, who lives in you, and you are not your own? Verse 20. For you are bought at a price, the price of Jesus Christ, in parentheses, close parentheses. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. What does this say? This says if you misappropriate what God has set aside for him, which would be you, and you misappropriate that, what are you doing? You're doing like Achan did. Marty, you're being severe. I don't know. I'm not being anything. I'm just trying to give you what the Word says. The Word says this. The Bible says that we're His. And if we act in the flesh, we are misappropriating what He gave us. And I think I need to stop here for a second and look at my notes. I'm not very casual about these notes things because it's a mechanical thing. Oh, let's see. Okay. Number two, the sin of one affects all. We've been talking about that. That just does not sound fair, does it? Well, when you plant centipede grass seed, if you've ever done that, it runs, buddy. It'll run. When you plant, if weeds are in the ground, I'm going to put that over there. If weeds are planted in the ground, they spread. This just doesn't sound fair, does it? We're going to get into that a little bit. Let's see. where we are in things. We're at verse 12. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they have become doomed to destruction. Ooh. Neither will I be with you anymore unless you destroy the accursed from among you. What does this say? It says nothing separates us from the love of God. Romans 8:37. Nothing. But what it does say is when we're living in a state of deliberate practicing of sin, we separate ourselves from God. We separate ourselves from His communion. We separate ourselves from really closeness with Him. And we know we're doing it. We know we're doing it too. It doesn't mean God doesn't love us. We have to have a right view of God. The wrong view of God is saying, oh, God is so gracious. He'll let me do anything I want to do as a Christian. I'm telling you, what we do after we're a Christian, we show the evidence of our being saved or not. It's a sad Christian who is not showing proof of life. He's been saved or she's been saved for, and it is a sad Christian that shows no proof of life. Guys, we live in a world where we're supposed to shine as lights. I'm telling you, we are in enemy territory. Fourth time Marty said that. We are. We're accountable to each other as the body of Christ, and we're accountable to God. Not out of legalism, but out of, we've been freed for something. We've been freed to something, salvation. We've been freed from something, from the inevitability of having to give in to sin. We've been freed for something, for the glorifying of God in our body, in our spirit. That's the marching orders we got. That's marching orders we got. When we get up, we're programmed to think, I got to get my cup of coffee. I've got to get it. And I do that. When I wake up, the first thing that kicks on is, got to get my coffee. I can't focus. I can't perform. I can't do anything. My life will begin to have meaning and significance for me and others once I get this first cup of coffee. I may not consciously think all that, but I act like I do. Folks, we need to be wired in our consciousness to, Lord, how can I serve you? How can I serve you today? Because my life comes from you. And the world's looking at me, and I want to show you and not my own selfish self. But what we have here is Achan, one person, infecting the whole tribe of Israel with sin here. I need to continue on. You understand that these people are lost because they depended on themselves, because Joshua didn't pray, because all these things were set into motion because of the sin of one man, Achan. Okay? I want you to understand that. Get up. Verse 13, again. Verse 10, God told Joshua to get up. 13, get up, sanctify the people, that is, set them apart, and say, sanctify yourselves for tomorrow, because thus says the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. In the same way, guys, if we want to serve God, if we want to win battles for Him, if you wonder why you're weak in your battles, look no further than yourself. Don't make excuses or don't blame shift around you, because there's something that makes you weak. When you hold on to something, when I hold on to something that is a practice of ours, a habit to which we think we have all rights to, that thing, if it comes between us and God, if it impairs us, makes us weak, we got to get it out. Holy Spirit's there to help us. I love you guys, and I'm not here to try to make you feel better. I can't soften the Word. The Word is sometimes gracious and loving, and sometimes it's really firm and truthful like this. So I'm not going to apologize for it. I need to remember that myself. I'm just a messenger. Please don't kill me. Verse 14. in the morning, therefore, you shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord takes shall come according to families, and the family which the Lord takes shall come by households, and the households that the Lord takes shall come man by man. Verse 15, then it shall be that he who is taken with the accursed thing shall be burned with fire, he and all that he has, because he has transgressed or broken faith or trust with the covenant of the Lord, and because he has done a disgraceful thing in Israel. So Joshua rose in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. He brought the clan of Judah. He brought the clan of Judah, and he took the family of the Zerahites, and he brought the family of the Zerahites man by man, and Zabdi was taken. Then he brought the household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. Okay, verse 19. Now Joshua said to Achan, my son, I beg you, give glory to the Lord, God of Israel, and make confession to him, and tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me. Okay, he said, give God glory. That means God knows what you've done. Acknowledge that he is all-knowing, that he's seen you. You've been found out, not by me, but by God. Now, by the way, when this was done, I'm speculating here, but some historians have said that they used a device called the Urim and Thummim. This was instituted in Deuteronomy chapter 28. You can look this up if you want to on your smartphones, but don't do that right now. It is a simple device that may have been used in the discernment and the winnowing out of the culprit. Okay, it is not certain that this was used. All right? But I'm just saying that they could have been used. It's a bit like dice. It's a bit like holy dice. Okay? But they don't use that anymore. You understand that we have the Holy Spirit. We don't need the holy dice like that. Verse 20. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I have done. I want you to know something. That, look at verse 21 carefully with me, and let's pick out some verbs together. Because we have here a process of sin. You might find this also listed in the book of James in the New Testament, chapter 1, verses 13 through 15. It's quite instructive. But again, please do that later. Okay? Because we need to focus on what we got going on here. Verse 21. Here's Achan talking. When I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them, and there they are, hidden in the earth, in the midst of my tent, with the silver under it. Let's talk about it. So what happened here? He saw. First of all, he said, I saw it. I saw this. Beautiful garment. Wedge gold. Money. All this kind of stuff. I saw this stuff. Then, after he saw it, what did he do? He coveted. He wanted it in his heart. He had an action to it. He looked, he coveted. What did he do? This is what God says he did in verse 11. He took it, he stole it. Took it, stole it. It was not his, he stole it. It was misappropriated, embezzled, stolen, siphoned, taken. And then what did he do? He hid it. How does that have to do with me and you? Everything. Because in one way or the other, when we take something that's not ours, we take something that's God's, and a lot of things are God's that we think are not, that we think are ours. We take them for ourselves. Okay, let's just say you're really enamored of a car. You see a car, you want it. It's okay to have a car, get transportation to do this and that. But you know when things are out of balance and overbalance, and when they weigh on other things and take the place of other thoughts, maybe they're disrupting your devotional life. It doesn't take much to do that, right? Maybe they're disrupting your priorities as far as your administration of the money that you do make. Maybe they're affecting the way you would be generous to give to your family or to other things. If it's more than just transportation, anything can be a devoted thing and a cursed thing. Anything can, it could be devoted to God, and then you take it and it become bad. God gives good things. Sometimes we use them in a bad way. God gives us good food. Sometimes we use good food in a bad way. You know, I think about things like that. I think about ribs and Memphis dry rub. I think about apple bacon. The way it smells and tastes. It's a good thing. But it can be a bad thing. Think of my daddy. Think of the cholesterol in his heart veins and capillaries and all those things. I think about Pastor Ben's father. I think, see, good can be used for bad. Bad can be used for good. You know, God can take things and use things. But when we take things that are not ours, when we misappropriate our self and say that we're acting in God's behalf, but we're not, we're deceiving. In the time we got left, I want you to understand that Achan was punished for this. I'm not going to read those verses. You can read them if you want. He was punished, he and his accomplices and his family. All these things were, all of his existence was punished. Why? Part point three. God desires holiness in his people. That is out of fashion. That's not very popular, is it? God desires holiness in his people. We think of legalism. Folks, his word hasn't changed and it won't change. He desires holiness for us, and that's what I'm speaking today. I'm not apologizing for it. He's been dealing with me. Look, anybody that speaks on God's behalf, Pastor Ben or me or Pastor Todd or Pastor Jimmy or anybody else God tells a word to and he tells them to say something about it, don't you understand and don't you think that I'm the person, if I'm speaking his word, I'm the person God's going to come to and say, Mr. Prince, my son, what is up with you? What is this you got in your life? You're talking about that thing to somebody else and that is here. That is hypocritical. You're a hypocrite. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to toss it out? Or are you going to try to hide, just like this Achan you're studying about? What? He's not condemning me. He's saying, I love you so much, boy. What do you want me to do to you? Would you rather take care of yourself and do the discipline yourself and get the stuff out, or would you like me? Would you like a whooping? How do you want this to go down? God gives us a chance to do these things. Understanding this, I want us to go to Acts 5. This is in Acts 5. I'll simply make mention of this in Acts 5. The new church was forming, a new campaign. The old campaign in Canaan, which became Israel, the cities were eventually conquered. Ai was eventually conquered. Joshua 8. That was cool. God was true to his word. They got right with God. They purged out the old. God got them right. They conquered. Well, what's this? This is a new campaign. The Holy Spirit's come. Jesus is gone. The church is getting born and raised up and growing up. And neat things are happening. People are coming, at least 5,000 or 6,000 people, not in counting the men, I mean, not in counting the women and the children, are probably 20,000 new Christians. Wow, ground is being broken. Barnabas just sold some land. People needed things. People, as God prompted them, were selling their property, putting their money together, helping each other, helping each other. Well, we're going to read about a couple people here in Acts 5, starting in the first verse, Acts 5:1. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, verse 2, and he kept back part of the proceeds. His wife also, being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Verse 3. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? Verse 4, and this is the final verse. While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Do you see any similarities here between Ananias and Sapphira and Achan? By the way, Ananias means grace. Sapphira means beauty. Ugh. Grace and beauty gone bad. Grace and beauty gone bad. Because why? They were not created bad. In Christ. They were Christians, by the way. The Christian church was being persecuted. Anybody that wanted to be a Christian either was a Christian because they were saved or because they were crazy. They were crazy because they were hunted. Public enemies, number one. What happened? They wanted to look good. They wanted to seem good. Achan wanted to look and seem good. He deceived. People didn't know he disobeyed God until he was found out. Ananias and Sapphira didn't know that anybody knew and that nobody knew. And Peter didn't know until God made it known to him. God made them aware. They worked together. They colluded. They planned. They premeditated this. It wasn't the fact they didn't give everything. It was the fact they said they were, but they didn't. You understand? Deception. When we are committing ourselves to God, when we say we're such a thing, we're such and such to God, but we do different, we're hypocrites, just like Ananias and Sapphira. By the way, God killed them out. He killed them. He did. And I got to tell you, he did that. They were starting a new movement, the church. What if the church had, what if Ananias and Sapphira hadn't died? The church may have thought, well, I can get by with this. You know, I can hold back and say I give the whole thing. What you say and what you do were important to God. Oh, notice one more thing. It said back in Joshua 7, Joshua and Achan in that part in verse 19 and 20, where Achan was confessing things, he said, you know, I've sinned before God. Well, guess what? In Acts 5, verses 3 and verses 4, you understand that when Peter was saying, you have sinned before, you've lied to the Holy Spirit who lives in you. You've lied to Him. And then in verse 4, he says, you've lied to God. You've sinned to God. Holy Spirit and God are the same. Now, I'm an apologist, which means I like to talk about the defense of the gospel. I like to talk about consistency of the word. I just thought I would throw that in to understand, for you to understand that we are accountable to God and the Holy Spirit who lives in us to live the way He wants us to. Not to hide, not to live a life out in the open. If you want peace in your life, you'll live life in the open. While the praise team comes up and we get ready for communion, I want to summarize what we've gone over. Let's walk away with some thoughts. First thought is God views our commitment as a wholehearted involvement and obedience to His will. Number two, the sin of one affects all. That doesn't seem fair. How about this? One man came, second Adam. Adam, the first Adam came and brought sin to the whole human race. The second Adam came, removing that sin. One man's action, one man's sacrifice, one man's crucifixion, one man's death, burial, and resurrection to pay for our sins covered us all. As we come to Him individually and say, Lord, I have sinned, I'm sorry, I repent, I turn away from that, I want what You got. Please save me. Please help me grow. That's what it means when one sins, all are affected. When one righteous one who dies for everybody, all can be saved who come to Him and trust Him. And remember that God desires holiness in us. He desires holiness. And four, give to God what is His, or you won't be used and you will lose against your spiritual enemy. My prayer for us is that we will give ourselves to God today. My prayer is that if we want God to use us, we will understand that He will use us. He promises to, as we open ourselves to Him. Give ourselves to Him. Let us now prepare ourselves for communion.
That concludes our study for today. Please join us next time as Pastor Ben continues to teach us verse by verse through the whole Word of God and shows us how God's Word applies to our lives today. For more information about our Cutting Edge Radio Ministry or Calvary Chapel of the Sandhills, you can call us at 910-684-5296 or write to us at P.O. Box 102, Aberdeen, North Carolina, 28315. You can also visit us online at calvarychapelsandhills.com. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you as you seek to know Him more.
Marty Prince.